This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is sponsored by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Choose from over 150,000 titles that can be downloaded to your computer, iPhone, Android phone, or any other audio device. Get Terry Funk, More Than Just Hardcore, Dusty, Reflections of Wrestling's American Dream, or many other options. It can be yours for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Thanks. Now enjoy the show.
Time to play the game!
Welcome back, everybody, to another new episode of the Missed Spots podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Kevin.
And we have just gone through quite a weekend, the biggest weekend for wrestling, including Monday, I guess that gets lumped into the weekend.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania happened this past Sunday. WrestleMania Play Button or WrestleMania 31, whichever one you want to go with. Before we jump into it, overall thoughts on the show. I guess you can include the pre-show too, because there were two matches.
I absolutely include the pre-show, and that's one of the things that brings the entire show down for me. I've read a lot of reviews on the WrestleMania, and I've heard glowing reviews of this WrestleMania. I've heard it compared to some of the greatest of all time. I believe it was Dave Meltzer who said it was one of the top five of all time, and it puzzles the shit out of me.
I agree.
We watched this together, Mike and I, with a couple other friends, and until the Seth cash-in, I was basically saying this was a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy. There are some high spots, and in retrospect, giving it 24, 48 hours to think back on it, I liked it a lot more than I did watching it, but I did not. I thought this was a C+. That's to me, and it's maybe a B- because of the Seth cash-in and the fight in the main event. But I think overall that show dragged. It was improperly planned, and it felt like it the entire way to me.
I would go with a C+ myself on it. I'm with you. I've kind of felt like I was as Lawler would say in Bizarro Land when he's in Canada reading social media and reading reviews on this, people calling this definitely top 10, maybe top 5 best WrestleManias of all time.
Were we watching a different WrestleMania?
That's what I'm thinking.
Now, listen, I want to be positive about the product. Excuse me, I'm fighting a little cold here. I want to be positive about the product. And I'm excited and happy that people like the show. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's good for it's good for WWE. It's good for all the guys on the roster. It's good for everybody involved when people come out of that with a positive feeling. But all in all, up and down that card, I mean, I think we should start getting into the matches, and we'll talk about why we thought this was such a miss.
Yeah, in a absolutely. Lot of ways. On the pre-show, we had two matches. We started off with the four-way tag team title match, including the champions Kid and Cesaro. Defending against The New Day, composing of Kofi and Big E, Los Matadores, and The Usos. Right off the bat, we had one of The Usos, I believe it was Jimmy, taken out because he's been battling a shoulder injury, and Jay continued the rest of the match by himself. Smart move, really, to do that so that he's not hurt.
And also keeps Usos on the show, which is good.
They get a payday, and everyone gets to be seen, sort of. We had Kid and Cesaro go over with I liked the finish to it because it was very heel.
Yep.
Cesaro blind tagging himself in after Jay hit the splash, and then throwing Jay out and taking the cover. It would normally give them heat as heels, but they are the cool heels, so the smart crowd loves them.
And it's a smart crowd at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So they were the favorites in that match. Listen, this was a pretty good match. It got a little messy at points. I am not a huge fan of the all-over action when everyone has to get involved and everyone has to get knocked out for the last thing to happen. I'm just not a huge fan of the Fatal 4-Way tag team matches in general. There's too many people out there, especially when you consider that Natalya's at ringside, Xavier Woods at ringside, Del Torito's at ringside, Naomi's at ringside. There was just too many people out there. So this was a pretty good match, but overall, I think this is a fail. You took your tag team champions, relegated them to a pre-show at, 6:15 or whatever the hell time it was. And
our time.
Yeah. And it just, it made it look like it was not that big of a deal. It was kind of overbooked. Fine match. I want to say that again, and I'm glad, I think the outcome was good. But it made it, I mean, in that bright daylight, it just, It didn't do very much for
me. And that's a continuing gripe of mine throughout this entire show. WWE should never hold another West Coast outdoor Mania because that daylight just ruined much of the ambience going on.
I agree. And that's just improper planning.
Yeah.
They should have known this. Listen, you can go on your Google and find out when sunset is every day of the year to know when the sun's going to go down. And the fact that Let's go farther on before we talk about this. So,
okay.
So the second match was
The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which turned out to be 30 men in the match instead of the original 20 because every single member of the previous match were involved in it as well. And this was a win for the Big Show.
So, first of all, they start the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal last year at WrestleMania, and they want to push this as a big deal. Cesaro wins it. We all know what happened to Cesaro. It's a shame. It wasn't booked properly, him going forward. Fine. That's the past. That's history. But this is just supposed to be a big deal. This is supposed to be something where people want to win. So, it gets relegated to the pre-show. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
We would find out later on there was plenty of time.
Oh, yes.
To do this on the main show. Anyway, that's to be said in a little bit. So we get our Miz and Sandow confrontation. Great. We get Sandow and we get Big Show as the last guys in. And Big Show goes over. Big Show wins this. Now, is this a last moment in the sun for Big Show? Is this his last big WrestleMania moment? I sincerely hope so.
Yeah.
I'm sure Big Show is a wonderful guy. He's done a great job in sports entertainment. He's way past his prime, way past his prime. He's hard to watch out there for the most part. He can't put on good matches with any, no one can put a good match on with the guy. And he is...
His character has turned so much, it's not even a fun-to-watch character.
No, it's boring, it's played out, and instead of taking a young guy, or a younger guy, I should say, and a guy who should have won that, you could have given it to Ryback, you could have given it to Mizdow, Sandow, and to have Big Show go over on this, it serves no purpose and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Show is not going to get a main event push. He's going to stay as a lackey to the Authority. And if he does get a main event push or any kind of push to a major program, it will be an absolute mistake.
And I think that it devalues Cesaro's win from the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
We thought from seeing that last year, this was a tournament, or not tournament, a battle royal that can help launch a career into the next level, but for Big Show, it's pointless to have him win that, other than if they're just giving him the, hey, you know what, you've never won a battle royal before, here you go.
That is the only way you can justify that. With his size, he should have won one of these at some point, but the sun has set on that. This should have been somebody else's chance. Hideo Itami was in that, and he eliminated somebody, I can't remember, he had a good elimination and then was tossed out by Big Show.
Yeah.
You know, you had Bo Dallas was back and just in the mix. There was too many people in the ring.
Bo got an elimination in there, too, I think.
Yeah, he did. And then he ran outside and did his whole thing.
He eliminated himself.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is, to me, the primer that we were going to see a bunch of guys who didn't need to win in this situation.
Just going back real quick to the tag team match, did you happen to see Cesaro Steiner Math?
No.
Cesaro, on the pre-show,
okay,
was talking with Renee Young and gives Steiner Math.
Oh, yeah.
On their percentage of chance to win.
Okay.
Look that up.
That's interesting.
We kick off the actual main show of WrestleMania 31 play button with the Intercontinental Championship ladder match with champion Bad News Barrett and the challengers Daniel Bryan, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, and Stardust.
You know, drink of water. That was a lot of people.
Yeah.
Said a name.
And they didn't, we didn't get, Sheamus, who was rumored to either be in that match or in the,
right.
Which I Andre think was the right Giant. Choice. Yes. And we'll get it to him in a little bit. Daniel Bryan goes over, wins the belt in a pretty entertaining contest where there were some pretty sick spots in there, including Ambrose going through a ladder from Harper powerbomb.
Yeah. This was not a this was a good match. This
yeah.
But the match to me felt rushed. I think that went a little too fast. I would have liked to see a little longer drawn out match with that many people involved in it.
A little bit less than 14 minutes, the match was.
I just think they could have gone a little longer with that many guys. But that's a minor gripe. It was not a incredible ladder match like Harper and Ziggler put on at TLC last year, but it was a fine one, and it involved a lot of those upper mid-tier guys. Everyone looked pretty good in it. Bryan winning and up against Ziggler, the last spot with the 1,000 headbutts was a little bizarre, but I liked it. The crowd fed off of it, and Daniel Bryan walks out the IC champion.
You know, it wasn't, at least in my opinion, as spot-heavy as most multi-people ladder matches mm-hmm. tend to be.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But there was a couple brutal little bumps in there. This was a fine match.
Yeah.
This is, you know, taking lemons and making lemonade. I thought this was too many people in there, and the build-up wasn't great. But we knew that with the quality of performer in this, this was going to be pretty good. And it was.
Mm-hmm. And Daniel Bryan takes the title, becomes this one of the most popular people in the business, holding that belt with the chance of
wonderful.
Elevating that
wonderful.
Title.
This was a high. This was a high point of the show to me.
The next match I thought was fairly good as well, because we had Randy Orton taking on Seth Rollins, and I thought they put on a fun little match with Randy winning with quite possibly one of the most incredible spots I've ever seen in my life.
Sick. It was sick. It was wonderful. Yeah.
That curb stomp into an RKO, I've never seen anything like that before. And they did it so smoothly. I don't know if they practiced it a bunch or they're just that good. I'd believe that they are just that good.
Did you have any gripes about this match at all?
No.
Okay. I had one small gripe with this. I think it's the same thing as the IC Championship match. It was a little too fast. It felt like they were speeding through things. I would have liked to see, and this is just armchair booking, this is just me, I might be nitpicking, I thought Seth should have ran a little while. He should have spent the first couple minutes of the match trying to get away
from
him. Trying to avoid him, trying to get into a place where he could take advantage of Orton. So I think they could have drawn the match out and told a little better story because of the story leading up to it with Randy trying to get his hands on Seth. And for as good as those two guys are, this wasn't a special match. And I think it should have been a special match. It was a very good match. But this, to me, I thought was going to be the show stealer and the match that we look back on 5 years from now, and that was the match of the night. You know, the Savage Steamboat match, you know, Michaels and Undertaker. I thought this mm-hmm. had the possibility to be that. And it was good. And the ending was sick. I'm being a little petty here, but it didn't feel special to me. And maybe it was the bright lights, I don't know. But it never really got me really drawn in, other than that last spot.
Yeah. After that, we had the one of the feature attractions of the event, Triple H taking on Sting. Sting coming out with an entrance that would have better served Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Having to come out and actually Triple H's entrance too.
Oh yeah.
As maybe it wouldn't have been as corny if there was darkness and they could use arena lights to emphasize things that were going on. We had this was the longest match of the evening at 18 and a half minutes with it was announced previous that it was going to be pinfall and submission only, so no DQs, no countouts. We had interference from DX on behalf of Triple H. We had interference, and this one makes no sense, of the NWO on Sting's part to help Sting. We were kind of hoping that NWO would turn on Sting.
I didn't think there was going to be a turn on. I thought they were going to come out and help DX as well. Yeah. I mean, you got two guys in the NWO who are essentially in DX, right? Yeah. The click. This, to me...
And you had X-Pac, who was in both.
Right. This, to me, maybe this is the match that really made me turn on this WrestleMania. We had two matches that really didn't do much for me on the pre-show, kind of got us down. Two excellent matches that I think could have given a little more as the first and second match. So we're building some momentum. This match, the things I've read online about how, oh, man, you had to mark out when you saw DX and NWO. No, you do not have to mark out for a bunch of guys way past their prime, especially in Hogan and Hall. They don't look good. They can barely, Hogan can barely move. Okay. Yeah. Nash still looks pretty good. Billy Gunn and Road Dogg still look pretty good. X-Pac, he's X-Pac. This was to me, it started with Triple H's ridiculous entrance. It looked so fucking stupid in the bright lights, but I mean, they went up on the platforms raised, and Schwarzenegger takes off his glasses and the cheesiest effects, and Triple H is handed skulls just so he can do his flex and drop the. It was so.
And that said, he was joined by Terminators and made to look like a Terminator, but then he has Terminator heads. Which is he?
Listen, that to me was. One tick better than RoboCop rescuing Sting 20-some years
ago. Maybe RoboCop should have come out.
Right.
And Arnold and him go at it.
It looked to me ridiculous. Sting's entrance should have been in darkness. Poor planning for this WrestleMania in general. So that's another layer to it. So then we get into the match. Actually starts out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sting looks pretty good. He looks great for his age.
Yeah.
And they moved around the ring pretty well. It started off fine. Then we get DX coming in.
Okay. Just gets overbooked to hell. Yeah.
So, but they had to do something to keep this match. They had to give a separate sideshow because it wasn't going to be a 5-star match, right? So DX comes down. Okay. DX comes to help out Triple H. Fine. The guys from DX, the last time they wrestled, they were baby faces, and Shawn Michaels is pretty much always a baby face and came out to help Triple H. But fine, I'll suspend my disbelief and put him as the heels and helping their buddy Triple H. The NWO comes out because they're the WCW guys. And this is a WCW, WWF thing. Wrong. This was the worst part of the build-up to this feud was the WWF, or WWE, I'm sorry.
I think that Sting said this isn't about WCW.
And the NWO comes out to help Sting. Sting's entire persona was based on fighting the NWO. He did join the Wolfpack at one point, I'll give you that. But it was one of the worst decisions they ever made with that character. And he certainly was never black and white.
And that was the time when freaking the NWO had jumped the shark.
It absolutely did. And it was one of the worst decisions they ever made with Sting's character. That's something that they should want you to forget. So, you have the NWO coming down to help a guy that tried to destroy them. The only guy who stayed true to WCW other than Diamond Dallas Page in the entire company. Forget the fact that Hall and Nash are in the clique with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and X-Pac, and they were at the goddamn Hall of Fame the night before doing the clique symbol up on stage as part of the WrestleMania festivities.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that. Suspension of disbelief. Okay, these guys are the WCW guys helping the WCW guy. Hogan can barely move. Hall does not look great. It was such a mess to see those guys out around the ringside. And it distracted me completely. The people that were marking out over this, listen, that's your flavor of the month, man. I'm glad that people enjoyed it. Because I'm glad people are entertained by the sport that we love. But I was just was scratching my head and wondering what the hell was going on.
Here's what, at least in my opinion, what could have been done to make that a little bit better. Instead of NWO, you got Booker T,
DDP.
Who's on the payroll. DDP, who's recently been there, mm-hmm. they can afford. And instead of maybe throwing money at some of these big-name celebrities, get fucking Goldberg to come down. Those are three people that were the faces of WCW, even stayed true to it.
If you're going to throw Hogan out there, throw out fucking Ric Flair. Let him chop somebody. He looks old and frail, but still, Flair, DDP, and Booker T make a hell of a lot more damn sense than the NWO coming out. In fact, the NWO could have come out, Sting could have thought they were trying to help him, they all formed a beatdown, and some actual WCW guys run him off. I still don't think that's a great idea, because I hate the WCW-WWE thing, but at least it would have made more damn sense.
Absolutely.
So then you have Triple H go over. This is Sting's, first and probably only WrestleMania. He might wrestle next year. We don't know. He finally comes to the company. He kicks the authority out of power. He's an avenging angel. He comes in and he loses to Triple H, who is a once-a-year performer who is already the guy in the company.
He's accomplished so much in the company.
What sense does that make? It makes it now we feel like they're setting up a Triple H Rock for next year, so maybe they were trying to make Triple H look strong. It didn't matter if Sting beat him.
Still Triple H.
He's
always going to be
one of the best
of all time.
He's still excellent. He's still doing good in the ring. He put on an amazing match last year with Daniel Bryan. It hurts him in no way, shape, or form. And then you have them shake hands after Triple H wins by bashing him in the head with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
What? This match totally pulled me out of the evening. People loved it, apparently. Not my thing.
Look,
I don't know.
I like to get nostalgic from time to time, but it's just, it didn't make sense. It made no sense. There was nothing redeeming. There's nothing that made sense story-wise to it, and I don't fucking know.
If they would have done... These guys are going at it. DX and NWO try to get involved. Both Triple H and Sting say, no, guys, we got to do this ourselves. I don't need the help. And then they wrestled to a very good finish, and they shook hands at the end. Fine. But the way that was booked didn't make any sense for the handshake afterwards. And then Triple H comes out a couple hours later and talks about how he buried and destroyed Sting after they shook hands in the middle of the ring like sportsmen at the end. Okay, so this match was, to me, one of the worst parts of the entire evening.
Yes, and it was 18 minutes. The longest
match of the night.
Next up, we had the Divas Tag Team match, AJ and Paige against the Bellas.
Did we forget, wasn't there a musical performance in between
those two? Probably. it's not on Wikipedia.
That musical performance, by the way, needed to be there, because you got to, for some reason, put music on a WrestleMania show that no one wants to listen to the music of, instead of your Battle Royal being on your main show.
My roommate Ryan, who's a friend of yours as well, he goes to me the next day, I heard Travis Barker was on WrestleMania. I said, yeah. I also heard that he was pretty shitty. And this is from a guy who idolizes Travis Barker as a drummer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It baffles me that they continue to push these musical acts on the show. Now, granted, they were doing the WrestleMania theme songs. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I still don't understand why they should be performing at the show when you have talented individuals that should be on your show.
Yeah.
But then go on to the next thing.
We had the Divas tag team match, AJ and Paige against the Bellas. AJ and Paige win.
How many minutes was this match?
Officially 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
6 minutes and 42 seconds. They couldn't have given them maybe a little time. I mean, the Ronda Rousey segment went on forever.
Yeah.
Okay, we had musical performances. They couldn't give the Divas more than 6 minutes at WrestleMania in a hastily thrown together match that serves no real purpose for anything. They was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
They did, each one of them performed pretty well. Mm-hmm. There was only one kind of semi-botched move in there. So good for them for putting on a good match. in the circumstances they had, but you cannot tell a good story in 6 minutes.
No.
You can't.
And there was really no story behind it, why it was going on.
Well, it, because the Bellas hate them.
The Bellas are bitches.
But, you know, we've talked about the Divas to death. This was, it was everything we thought it would be. Mm. 6 minutes thrown together. They admirably tried to put on the best show they could. They did their best. Case closed.
Then we had U.S. title match with champion Rusev defending against John Cena. Awesome entrance for Rusev.
Good entrance. The only entrance that probably was fine in the daytime.
Yeah.
It was a fine entrance.
I think it made better being in the daytime.
Tell me your feelings on the match itself.
I thought the match was good. I disliked the finish because I want to see the young guy Rusev go over, especially on the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania. I get why Cena was booked to win. They wanted to put these other singles titles on main event caliber guys to elevate those titles. And I think that that still could have been done at Extreme Rules.
I agree.
I think that putting Rusev over at WrestleMania, giving him that big rub, elevates him, makes Cena have to go further to have to beat him by going to Extreme Rules, having a whatever type of match that's hardcore in nature to beat Rusev. Rusev's streak is ended, but he is still now looked at as a credible guy that Cena had to have a gimmick match in order to beat him. He couldn't beat him clean in a regular match. Though I did not get the shoe part that Lana...
Apparently Lana tried to break something up by throwing the shoe at Cena, and she missed.
Oh, okay.
So she went to grab her other shoe, apparently, and by that time they figured out another way to get out of it, however it was. Okay, so an excellent match, in my opinion. I thought Rusev looked great. I thought Cena looked great. He performed a springboard stunner.
Oh, yeah, that was
He performed
at
least
nice
two
spot,
or three different moves for John Cena. Excellent. John Cena, as much as we have both dug into Cena in the time we've been doing this podcast, let's just say this. There's not a more, on camera at least, more of a class act and more of a professional in that business than John Cena.
Yeah.
That man goes out and gives it his all, performs, does his thing. Now, sometimes we think his thing isn't great, but does his thing in his way as hard as he can every time he goes out
there. And he can put on a great match when he is put with someone who is going to bring the best out of him.
And I think
he gets a little lazy when he doesn't have a general in the ring with him.
This match was excellent. On the pay-per-view, I was very disappointed Rusev didn't go over. I thought that the video package introducing Cena was insulting and ridiculous. Rusev is not going to take over America. Rusev is a guy who is from Bulgaria and then is now residing in the Soviet Union. Okay. But coming out and saying bad things about America is not worthy of having promos that feature 9/11. You know, the introductory package and Ronald Reagan and George Bush and Barack Obama. It's a little insulting. This is a wrestling match, and I know they're trying to up the stakes, but it's ridiculous. The whole patriotism thing in this angle shouldn't have been, in my opinion. But they did it. And once that happened, you know Cena's going over. Because he has to be the, you know, he's fighting from the bottom, and he's gonna never give up and win. So I was very disappointed the way that happened. What you said is what I completely agree with. Rusev, like Bray Wyatt last year, should have won this match. Especially because Bray Wyatt didn't win last year. They should have learned their lesson. You have a very good up-and-coming mid-card heel that is gaining traction and momentum. When he lost to Cena and lost the feud to Cena, Bray Wyatt was hurt and took a step back. And if now, just to this WrestleMania, he's caught himself back up and then whatever happened later on, we'll talk about. They should have learned their lesson. And they should have had and realized that Rusev is a good enough U.S. champion to make that championship important. They put the title on Daniel Bryan because they want to make the title important. Rusev himself, as an ascending mid-carder, is making the U.S. title important. And a win over Cena makes that title more important than Cena winning the title from Rusev.
Yeah, he has been so good at being a heel.
He legitimizes him as a serious. Now, if you want to get the title on Cena, just like you said, go to Extreme Rules. Let Cena take the title from him. But Cena gets the belt. Cena gets to go over him at one point. But Cena still only won one out of the three matches. So Rusev has still that and the WrestleMania win to keep his momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing what they did on Raw and seeing Cena with the belt and the fact that John Cena, the biggest star in the company, is holding onto that belt, it made me forgive the booking a little bit because I do think it's a good thing ultimately that he has the belt. I think it could have been just as good or a better thing with Rusev, but I think ultimately, it's going to be okay. I think Rusev hopefully would be booked strongly from this point on. I don't know what if he feuds with Brian. I don't know what it is. But the match was good. It was fine. They let Rusev get kind of a distraction thing where he knocked Lana off the apron and Cena hit him with the F5. Okay. I'm about 50-50 on the match because of the outcome and then, you know, and then that.
After that, we had the opening segment and closing segment for Raw.
A Raw episode broke out in the middle of WrestleMania.
With an authority promo. What looked like Steph just being out to announce the attendance record for the event turned into Rock coming out, turned into Triple H coming out, turned into Rock pulling Ronda Rousey out of the audience. And I gotta say, Rock just, the reason this went on for so long is Rock played to himself for so long.
I think they told him to waste as much time as possible.
Yeah, they were trying to get the sun to go down. They were
rain
dancing. But
they should have realized they can't. It's not gonna go down any faster. There's a time. Like I said, check Google, right? This is when it's gonna go down. If you can't waste that amount of time, it's not gonna work. That segment. This is another thing. This segment was so over with the fans. This was painfully boring to me. Painful. Watching the pauses between them talking. Watching the rhetoric that we've heard a billion times before said back and forth. This was not exciting to me. And as long as it took for Ronda Rousey to get into the ring, and then for anything to happen with it, it did nothing for me. Am I wrong in that?
I think it would have been an awesome segment if they would have shaved 5 to 8 minutes off of it.
Made it more concise and to the point?
Yeah, exactly. Because what I tried to look at it is, okay, she's out there healing it up. Rock comes out, faces it up, gets smacked. Triple H comes out, he came out before he got smacked. They go at it for a little bit. And then he goes, pulls Rousey out. They talk it up a little bit. They do what they did, but it's over soon. I think it still would have, because Rousey's one of the most popular MMA fighters in the world.
There's nothing wrong with getting her involved in that, and that segment could have been better if it wasn't so long and drawn out and kind of repetitive. I have to believe they were pausing for time. I have to believe that. If they weren't, then someone dropped the ball with this segment. The second Steph smacked Rock and she started telling him, what are you going to do, hit me? Rousey should have jumped the barrier, came in and said, I'll hit you.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been more organic than Rock walking away, then taking his time, then slowly bringing her in the ring and blah, 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 blah. And that, it was taking fucking forever to get to the point. This was something that could have been cool, but ended up being completely flat.
I would agree.
At least to me.
Mm-hmm. After that, we had another one of the premier matches of the event. Undertaker taking on Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt calling himself the new face of fear. We had Undertaker going over. Somewhat surprising. Because what does Taker really have to fight for if the streak's over? It doesn't really matter if he loses. This is, again, Bray's chance to be pushed to that next level, and it's just foregone. It's giving Taker his win back from last year.
The only thing I can think of is that they want Taker to wrestle his last match next year in Dallas, his home state.
Mm-hmm.
They need to sell that arena out.
Which, will they bill it as his home state?
Possibly, but you know, they know. The fans know.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to, there's going to be 100,000 seats sold for it, and they want a big Undertaker match. Who's going to be with? Who knows? But so they wanted him to win, so it wasn't like he was coming off back-to-back losses, which I think is actually a better story.
Yeah.
If you put him on TV a few times and play up the fact that Lesnar beat you, Wyatt beat you, you can't go anymore, old man, and Taker comes back and wins his last match to go out, he would have put over Lesnar and Wyatt on the way, two of the most interesting and best heels in the business right now. And it would have been
Lesnar's
great.
Lesnar's face.
Well, at this point, they still considered him the heel going into that match, but I agree with you. Bray, he finally started gaining some momentum around Royal Rumble. He carried that feud. He made it somewhat interesting. He kind of made, you know, it wasn't great. It wasn't set up great, but he made the best out of it.
And again, both entrances that would have been better at night, in the dark, in an arena.
Poor planning.
Bray's entrance looked ridiculous.
It did. And the Scarecrow's thing, I mean, I was waiting for Thriller to bust out. And it was ridiculous in the light. And it was kind of ridiculous in general. Bray animating Scarecrows. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I think it would have looked better with
Dark.
Could
have been a little cooler. But. And Undertaker came out to almost no kind of real entrance.
Yeah.
Which was fine. You can't do something special every time.
He still tried to turn the lights on.
Well, he turned the purple lights off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
So the match itself was pretty good. It was better than I expected it to be. They did let Bray kick out of a tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
Bray did look good during
the
match.
They had the nice spot where he was doing the crab walk and Taker stood up and Bray looked scared.
It was a cool moment.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment. There were some cool moments in this match, but Taker going over, I just don't get it. Push your young guys. Bray should be going after the IC title or the world title. Bray should be, before next WrestleMania, Bray should be
a champion.
Main eventer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most interesting heel they have on the roster. As far as character goes, Seth is still great. Seth is the best heel in the business right now. But he's the most interesting character heel they have. So it's just puzzling to me. And that's why this match. And this is one of those matches where I didn't like it because I didn't like the end, which probably wasn't fair to the match. And but I just...
Do you think that match hurts Bray at all?
I think it does. He called out The Undertaker... When is Bray going to actually back up anything that he says?
Mm-hmm.
He has not backed up anything. He's tried to get Cena to embrace the hate and pull all this stuff out of Cena. Cena pretty much embarrassed him that entire feud. His one win he got because of the demonic child sang a song at him. That's the only time that Bray went over Cena.
Mm-hmm.
He went over Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is still a wonderful performer, but he's a part-time guy that's going to come in
and he's putting everyone over. He put over Fandango.
Right. And the Dean feud was when Dean was really losing steam, and at one point, Bray won because a TV exploded on him. I mean, that was not a good feud. So Bray has not done what he said he's going to do. At some point, he needs to be the new face of fear, and he should have taken that baton Sunday night.
Yeah,
I think it absolutely hurts him. Who are they going to put him in a feud with that he actually looks good? Because he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm just kind of looking down the list of who was on Mania, and who can he look strong against and beat? The only thing I see, and it's probably not going to happen because of what we saw on Raw, would maybe be Randy Orton.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. Next up, we had what started off as the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match, champion Brock defending against challenger Roman Reigns. And we had what was looking like at points the SummerSlam match going on.
Yeah.
Brock throwing Roman all around. The Roman was getting some punches in that were actually busting Brock open.
Oh yeah.
Very stiff looking punches. And I don't remember who actually did it, but Roman did, if you take all the types of moves that he did, three moves right. throughout the entire, he did punches.
He did one Samoan drop.
One Samoan drop and a spear.
Right.
And he did multiple of those, but that was all he did.
Because of the special circumstances of how they booked that match, you can forgive it. Because this was a low-down, brutal, ass-kicking kind of mm-hmm. a match. So there wasn't a lot of wrestling going on.
You could say all Brock did was suplex people and F5 them. You're right there.
I would like to see a better wrestling match, but you know what? That was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Brock looked like a fucking beast. He was throwing this guy all around. About halfway through the match, when you see like the third F5 that hasn't put Roman away, we all groaned because we were all assuming that Roman was going to go over, and they were just building another superhero character, a la Cena, that can take 25 F5s. You can't beat him because he's just so strong, and he won't give up because he can, right?
And then awful metalcore breakdown comes on.
Right. Well, before that, you had just pure brutality, which we don't see. We had bleeding. We had Lesnar blade.
Did he bleed?
He did. Okay. Yeah. There's some evidence that Roman took a razor blade from the ref and gave it to Lesnar, I think. There's a couple stills they have the match.
For the forehead.
For the forehead one, okay. Yeah. But he was cut open legitimately on the lip and on his cheek early on. There were some brutal-looking knees from both guys. It looked like they were legitimately hurting each other. It was a prize fight. And Lesnar, I mean, everything Lesnar did, the crowd went fucking nuts. And they booed everything that Reigns did. And they were booking.
That was one of the most hostile entrances for Roman. Like, I don't know why they let him do that anymore.
He's got to stop coming to the crowd because it looks bad for him. So we were groaning because we were like, they're going to put Roman over him, and he's going to kick out of the fifth F5, and he's going to go over. Then when Rollins comes down before the end of the match and enters into a three-way, it was the best possible way they could have booked getting Rollins the title. I give WWE all the credit in the world for that. They didn't have Reigns, who would have been mercilessly booed for a few seconds at least till Rollins' music hits or whatever happens. They didn't let him go over Lesnar because it would have looked ridiculous, in my opinion. And they didn't let Reigns, and they didn't let Lesnar go over Reigns because they're still protecting him for the future. So they let him smile as he's getting his ass kicked. They let him look like the legitimate badass, won't give up. But then for Rollins to come in, and the way that they booked it, with Rollins coming in, hitting a couple curb stomps, Reigns spearing Lesnar out of the way, getting the curb stomp from Rollins, that was a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best moment of the show, bar none. And that is the moment where I think everyone's like, oh, best WrestleMania ever. You forget that was really the only great moment of the entire show.
One moment does not make an entire show.
Absolutely not. And if it did, last year's was a hell of a lot better because the one moment of Daniel Bryan winning was incredible.
Yeah.
But we end up with Rollins having the title. That was a thing of beauty. Don't get me wrong. But don't forget about how really hollow the rest of that the card was. None of the matches were very long. None of the matches were particularly well, like really, really well, five-star kind of wrestled. There's not one match on that card that's going to stand out as like, that was a great, great match. A legendary match, a match of the ages. Mm-hmm. Not one. Nothing like the Rollins, Reigns, Lesnar match, or the Rollins, Bryan.
No, Rollins.
Reigns and Lesnar match.
No. Rollins, Lesnar, Cena.
Cena, I'm sorry, guys. Cena match from Rumble. Royal Rumble. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, they did a good job. They got the title on Rollins, which I thought was great, but it did not save that show.
No. No, not at all. So that was Mania. And then last night, or as we're recording this at least, was Raw, which Raw after Mania always tends to have fun stuff going on. You have a hot crowd that's a mania crowd partaking in that most often than not. And you usually have returns, debuts, new stories starting. And we started off with Brock and Heyman coming to the ring, Brock in his gear, looking for a fight.
And one of the biggest pops I've heard since Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Just on fire for this guy. He is now a babyface. People love seeing this guy kick people's asses. Suplex City, bitch.
Yeah.
They loved every second of that guy. And Heyman played it up, and Lesnar played the part. It was a perfect way to start the show with a promo that actually went somewhere and was important and mattered.
Mm-hmm. We had Heyman demanding that Lesnar get his rematch right then, right there. Steph came out, said, oh, he's not here right now because he was in New York where you should have been doing the Today Show, but he's coming back and we'll see how he feels about it when he comes back. And right there they put a teaser to everyone that we're going to have a world title match on Raw.
Right.
With Brock Lesnar being involved. Added in that they had already, previous to the show, announced via the app and the website and text message that Daniel Bryan was going to be defending the IC belt against Dolph Ziggler. Cena was going to be defending the US belt in an open challenge. So it was adding to the idea that Raw is going to be a big fucking deal.
Right.
And then after that segment, we got Bryan and Ziggler immediately as the opening match. Neither of them got their entrances televised, a thing that happened a few times throughout the night. But an excellent match between those two. Excellent. A
fantastic wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
They knew their crowd. They knew who they were in front of. The crowd was hot the entire night, and especially for those two guys. They wrestled. They moved. They did submission stuff. And you know what? The announcers put over that they were wrestling. They had a wrestling match going on.
Bad News Barrett was putting them over. The man who lost the belt right. The night before put over both men.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Two guys who have some legitimate beef now with each other, wrestling over the Intercontinental Championship. Two guys who could very well be a world title contender. And this shows me that I think now we have, because at the end of the match, after Bryan goes over, excellent match, Ziggler still looks strong, you have Barrett knock out Bolt with the bull hammer, you have Sheamus return, who looked stupid, as the crowd would tell him, and looked like he was going to ran off Bad News, and then took out both Bryan and Ziggler. So I think we're going to get Sheamus and Bryan.
Yeah.
But I think they could have done a really good program with Ziggler and Bryan, with Ziggler not being able to beat Bryan, doing more and more heel tactics, and finally turning heel. I think that would have been a cool program.
Yeah.
They're not going with it. Fine. Sheamus and Bryan could be a really good program because Bryan looks really good going up against these big guys who can actually wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheamus is a brawler. He's not a great mat wrestler. But those two guys have some chemistry, I think, together. What did you think of Sheamus's look?
Oh my god, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I've seen some dumb stuff in wrestling.
When the crowd chanted, you heard every syllable.
You look stupid.
It was one of the funniest things.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to my girlfriend on the couch, and she was reading, and she looked up and saw that and goes, oh, yeah, he does. It was brilliant. So we have a returning Sheamus. We have still a stacked IC title picture because Barrett's still around it, wants his rematch. You know, Ziggler hasn't said he's not done with it yet. They're going to have a tag team match on SmackDown. This was an excellent opening match and set up a feud for the future with guys I want to see fight for a title.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We had... After that, after some fluffer, we had an 8-man tag match with tag champs Kidd and Cesaro teaming with The Ascension to take on The New Day and debuting Lucha Dragons. at least main roster debuting Lucha Dragons. Kalisto
looked great.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you had a smart crowd who already knew who he was.
They were chanting NXT.
Yeah.
They knew this guy, and we're not going to see that anywhere else.
But matching him up with Cesaro was absolutely brilliant, because Cesaro can work with anyone.
Right.
And he can make, if you want him to be the one on the other end of the offense, he can make you look like $1 million.
And with his strength, you can do tandem moves that are just incredible. The head scissors takeover that he did after spinning around his body like twice was incredible. And his basic regular move set that he uses looked great and crisp. This was another thing that they hit it right on the nail. They hit the nail right on the head. They introduced the NXT they hit the nail right on the head with this one. They took the NXT former tag team champions, a guy who is their quote-unquote next Rey Mysterio.
Rey who?
They debuted them in a great way. New Day shouldn't have anything to do with it, but fuck it. Everything else looks so good. I love the New Day sucks.
Why do they keep on doing that if they know that that's what the reaction they're going to get is?
It is going to get louder and louder now that people have it. Yeah. It was at WrestleMania the first time I heard that.
They it's happened on Raw.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah.
And you also had Ascension in the match, who looked okay.
Yeah.
But they were around, actually. They were actually on a match on Raw, which they haven't been on in like 3 weeks. So I thought this was great, too.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. We get a backstage segment with Heyman telling Lesnar that Rollins is there.
Right.
It's going to happen. Vignette for Adrian Neville.
Right. Who's now called Neville.
Yes. We didn't know that until a little bit later.
It's a puzzling thing why guys keep losing their first names. You know, Rusev, Cesaro. Maybe it's
Wesley and Blake.
Yeah, yeah. But that's neither here nor there.
Or Blake and Murphy. Sorry, and Buddy Murphy. Come back from commercial, and we got Brock coming out to the ring. We got Seth coming out to the ring. We get the formal introductions. And then Seth goes, nah, I'm jet lagged. I'm not doing this. And Brock loses his shit. And it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen.
Okay, so we were teased a world championship rematch, or not a rematch, well, essentially a rematch.
We got bait and switched.
Right. Were you disappointed in that?
No.
Not at all. Because this was one of the bait and switches that worked because storyline. Seth looks smarmy. He looked exactly like he should. He's the heel with the title. He's the one with the power. So he suckers him in thinking he's going to get the match and goes, ah, you know, I feel a little jet lagged. You're going to get the match, just not tonight. Him trying to get away, flipping
he
out.
Literally looked like he was running for his life.
Right. Him flipping out of the German suplex that Rock threw and getting out of Dodge was great. And then Lesnar F5ing Michael Cole. They knew their audience.
Yeah.
That crowd wanted to see Michael Cole F5 for about 10 years now, and they did it. It was incredible. And not only was this great, but it triggers a change. If they're saying he has a fractured vertebrae, they're going to keep him out for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe this is his exit as the lead announcer. That could be a very good thing, too. That could mean that they're changing up their announce team and their announce style to be a little more, I don't know, focus on the ring action a little bit, put the wrestlers over instead of making corny old jokes. Because we didn't see Booker T or JBL out for the rest of the night either.
Yeah.
Who knows what we're going to see, but it's a step in a good. It's a step in a very good direction.
Yes, just a fun little thing about this whole thing that went down about a week ago. Have you ever heard of this guy Mets fan who's on Reddit, who's supposedly a WWE insider?
Mm-hmm.
He made a post about how Brock was very close to re-signing, and the day after, Brock announced that he had re-signed, and one place in the comments, someone goes, this would be the only thing that could make me more happy than hearing Brock re-signing is Brock F5ing Michael Cole. This was a week ago.
Oh, really?
And the account that is a parody Brock account simply replies, I'll put this under consideration. And it came back up last night after this whole thing that he must be the real Brock.
Right. Nice.
But that was so good. And then Steph coming out and being legit mad at him after he put the cameraman down and then put him down again.
Right. This gets Brock off TV for a while because we're always going
to
work.
Good way to write him off.
It's a good way to write him off. It's disappointing because he's so over right now.
Oh, yeah.
But what if Brock is still going to work limited matches, but he's going to show up on a pay-per-view, show up on an episode of Raw and F5 everybody? What if he's going to be kind of, you know, the thorn in the authority's side from time to time? That would get him to be working still limited dates without actually working matches, which hopefully there's something they can work in there because that character is insanely over. Jim Ross has been saying for a year now, that dude is one iota away from being the biggest badass-kicking babyface in the company. And lo and behold, here we have him.
Yeah. It's a shame that he can't be
around longer.
Right.
But he stays a special attraction as long as we don't wait too long until we see him again.
Yeah.
If he can pop his head out at Extreme Rules, just pop his head out and do something quick, or at least a pay-per-view afterwards, then I'll be satisfied with it.
Yeah.
But the segment was great.
We come back from commercial, and we see Byron Saxton at the announce table that's still flipped on its side. That I don't get why you couldn't just push it
over.
It wasn't destroyed. by himself, and then he commentates the Stardust Damian Sandow, Mizdow. I didn't recall hearing which he was billed as.
Damian Mizdow.
It was
Mizdow. Came out to Miz's music.
Yes, still dressed like him.
Which I was disappointed in. He turned on Miz last night. He should have came out in his own character.
Absolutely agree, yes.
But I think they're waiting for their actual clash at like Extreme Rules for him to do that. Or maybe they haven't decided how they're going to repackage him, because they're probably not going to do the intellectual savior of the masses or whatever, because that's kind of a heel persona. So maybe they're working on something for him and they just don't have it down yet. I was a little off-put by the fact he's come out still dressed as The Miz, and he should have been Damian Sandow again.
Yeah.
But he essentially squashed Stardust after a little back and forth, and Miz came out, and he is, the crowd just hates that son of a bitch. He's a good heel. The crowd hates him. And these guys are going to have a match at Extreme Rules, you'd imagine, and hopefully Sandow goes over and becomes Damian Sandow again. That's at least what we hope.
Just to talk a little bit about Byron, he seemed very anxious, very
deer in headlights.
His volume was so
low. His volume was so low,
and I don't think it was the mics. I think he was just talking so low, and he was making these very long pauses. He had no enthusiasm in his voice. There's talk of people saying, well, he had Vince in his ears so much that he's not used to it, so he's not talking over it because he doesn't really know how to talk over that and be listening.
Practice and it takes a lot of skill to do that.
Yeah. And just they left him out there by himself for so long. They did it through the next match too after that, because we had Curtis Axel and Adrian Neville. I'm sorry, Neville in his weird funky cape robe thing.
That was kind of weird. They want to dress people up a little too much.
Yeah.
Which they don't need to.
Is this the Mighty Mouse part of it? Is giving him a cape?
Listen, he debuted as Neville. He debuted to his music, his NXT music. He looked great. My girlfriend, who was sitting on the couch, who doesn't watch wrestling with me, was mesmerized, and she was like, this guy's a gymnast.
By his flippy stuff?
This guy's incredible. This guy's a real athlete. And of course, I'm like, well, dear, all these guys are real athletes, but at least that she started to understand why I like this stuff. I love Curtis Axel's Axelmania stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. I would love to see him do more promos with the, you know, obvious kind of green screen, Axelmania thing a la Hulk Hogan in 1987. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
And the fact that he keeps doing it, it's very Bo Dallas almost, like, you know, he's delusional. He keeps losing in squash matches.
What about them as a tag team?
I wait. What on a program where
believers and Axelmaniacs?
It could be good. So this was a great way to get Neville over. He hit all his spots with perfection, with perfect timing.
He's so crisp.
God, is he good? He's fucking small, and even though he's built,
yeah,
I mean ripped.
Once you put him in there with someone a little bigger,
some bigger guys. So I'm worried he's going to get lost there. But the great thing about debuting Kalisto and Neville the night after WrestleMania is that the people at that are going to go to the shows from now on saw how over he was with the crowd,
yeah,
and they want to replicate that.
Yeah,
so hopefully
exactly.
They'll yeah. go, wow. And hopefully they're going to say, well, this is what's happening in NXT? These guys are flipping around like gymnasts? These guys are incredible. I got to watch this thing. And they mentioned their history with NXT.
Longest reigning NXT champion of all time.
They actually played up the fact that they were in NXT, finally.
Yeah.
Like they should have done with the Ascension. So these are just huge leaps forward in things that we've been talking about for months that they're actually doing on Raw. I was giddy with excitement watching this episode of Raw. 2 hours went by, and it felt like 30 minutes.
Did feel like that the show went by so fast.
Flew by. I was not bored at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until near the end.
Yeah. We then had Cena come out and talk himself up with his new t-shirt that got made amazingly fast. And
how about the crowd reaction?
Oh.
I've never heard John Cena sucks so loud.
Yeah.
And this is what I had mentioned at WrestleMania.
And he played off like he was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go away now by pretending to walk back instead of.
Yeah.
Come into the ring.
That dude has so much class, and he goes out there with a smile on his face, and he does his shtick, and he plays to the crowd, and when he's just being genuine and doing that stuff, I love the guy.
Yeah.
When he has these overly scripted promos or these kind of cheesy lines that he uses, he's cringeworthy. But when he's embracing that and embracing how much they hate him, like when he goes, well, if that's the way you feel, you're going to hate this.
Yeah.
And he puts the belt up and does the champ is here. I was fucking applaud the guy for that. I mean, good for him for being able to do that. That's not something, obviously he's much longer in his career and a, you know, all-timer as far as wrestling goes, but that's something that Roman Reigns has, when he gets booed, you can tell.
Oh, yeah, that he's not happy about
it. He gets taken out of his element. Cena rolls right with it.
Yeah.
They got to put those two together and have him have some sit-down, heart-to-heart talk.
Yeah. He puts out an open challenge, and we get Dean Ambrose to answer that challenge, and we have a good match.
Very good match. Another excellent Cena match. One missed spot.
Yeah.
Right. The power bomb off the top rope, which looked a little. Oh, God, let me get back up there because they obviously had a spot that was coming after it.
Mm-hmm.
But an excellent match and a very good Dean, frustrated that he couldn't win the damn IC title. He couldn't beat Bray. He can't beat Cena, right?
Yeah.
He had that really good look to him and that frustration, which I'm hoping is leading to something for him. And Cena, of course, being Cena in the class act, shaking his hand afterwards, but still playing with the crowd.
They had him kick out of an AA.
Yeah. This was a great Raw match that feels like it was good for both competitors to tell a story going forward. Cena is going to be a fighting U.S. champion. He's going to bring relevance to the belt. Dean is willing to go up against a babyface because he wants gold. This was good.
Yeah, and during this match, they had a commercial break. When we came back from commercial break, Jerry Lawler had joined Byron Saxton by this point in time.
Thank God, because Byron was dying out there.
Yeah, and after the match, adding to what you were saying about Dean, the handshake was even frustrating to him.
It was a slap,
and it's just like, damn it, you beat me. Yeah, I'll admit it, but I'm not happy about it.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully that does lead to something with Dean. We had backstage Renee Young interviewing Rollins about Lesnar, and Orton comes in and reminds Seth that, hey, I beat you last night, so, and I never got my rematch from WrestleMania 30, so I'm coming after that. So that continues probably a little while Brock is out.
It set up arguably though the most boring match of the night, which was the Rollins and Kane and Big Show.
Nope. Well, it began to start that
right.
off. Yeah.
Against it wasn't three the next match. Against no, I'm saying it set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Rollins and Kane and Big Show against three baby. That was the only match this entire episode of Raw that felt like just rehashed the same episode of Raw that we've been seeing for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it was a fucking great episode of Raw. So, man, I digress. Good, keep going.
After that, we had Six Diva tag team match with AJ, Paige, and Naomi facing the Bellas and Natalya. AJ wearing a Bayley t-shirt, which
that was cool.
Got NXT chants and We Want Bayley chants.
That was great.
Very nice little match put on here. Good stuff going on, and then the crowd kind of started shitting on them.
And that's a shame.
It is. I was a little proud at one point because a CM Punk chant started, but it quickly died and turned into a Let's Go AJ chant.
Right, that was
and good. Like that's good, but then it became to Nikki, you suck Cena, and then it was to Natty, you suck Tyson, and you suck Punk, and whoever puts other wrestlers in their mouth, you suck Brian.
Yeah, you suck Uso.
Yeah,
that was a shame. This is where the show to me kind of went off the rails, not because of the quality of the in-ring work, which I thought was very well done. It was another thrown-together Divas match to have a match on the show. But they gave them some time, and everyone looked good in this match, except for Brie Bella, but she rarely looks good in a match. But everyone looked pretty good in this match. In the beginning, the fans were still kind of hot for it, which is refreshing to see. And they gave them time, and they put on a good wrestling match. These are very, very good things.
The fans got bored and wanted to entertain themselves.
Right. And they had been so hot the entire night, it started to peter out a little bit. And I think maybe it was because it was like another Divas tag team, thrown together tag team match. Anyway, good match. And hopefully a step in the right direction for the whole Divas division, that we can actually see some concentrated, focused storylines about the Divas belt.
And hopefully at least Charlotte coming up.
We hope. But you know, right now they have enough. Naomi's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I don't like how much she uses her ass for, cause I don't.
Ass-based offense.
She does two moves that don't look like they would hurt at all. If you're gonna hit anyone with a part of your body, the best thing to do, if I'm gonna hit myself anything,
She had a really sweet move, on Paige, where she kinda head scissored Paige and dropped Paige on her head.
Yeah, that was cool.
That should be a finishing move. That looked devastating enough.
But she's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And if they give them time, like they did last night, they could be great for that division.
I agree.
But it started that, typical Divas tag match. At least Summer Rae and whoever else was involved.
We then got Goldust against Rusev. I'm surprised Goldust was not played by the part of Jack Swagger for the evening. Pretty short, concise, just Rusev getting his win back. No Lana there.
Well, you know, in the business, you know how there's jargon, right? Kayfabe, bleeding, this, that, and that, heat, babyface. Goldust pulled a Swagger last night. That's what we call it. Everyone that Rusev beats is now just pulling a Swagger.
He just
swaggered last night, you know?
It really didn't do a whole lot to, other than maybe give Rusev some heat back.
It was shocking that Rusev wasn't at least involved in the Cena segment, because you thought he would be irate that he lost. So
it almost makes it look like, hey, Rusev, we got nothing for you, but we want to put you on the show, so go do this.
So go beat Goldust, because the fans like him and respect him, so go beat a guy that you know, to keep your, you know, to regain your heat.
No promo to talk about, I'm still mad at this, or I'm going to get it back.
And this is why I worry about him losing at WrestleMania, because now if they derail this guy, they've done themselves a disservice, because this guy should be rising the ranks. This is a guy who could win Money in the Bank this year. He's got that kind of potential. And for him to have nothing really storyline-wise, not trying to get a rematch against Cena, they're 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Logically, he should be coming back after Cena.
Yeah.
At least I thought, because they were doing Dean and Cena, that Rusev was going to interfere to, you know, let...
Yeah, face-face match.
Right, let Dean win by DQ. I was almost positive of it. I'm glad they didn't do it, because they actually had a match end with a finish, which, another thing about last night, matches ending with actual finishes, actual pinfalls. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of running bullshit. That was good, too.
Yeah. After that, or actually before that match, I missed that, Randy Orton approached Ryback, approaches Orton about teaming with him for the night. So Orton has at least one partner heading into this main event. And we see, obviously, it's Roman Reigns to be the third. And this match was just, the fans let it be known that, hey, we don't care about this. They started the fucking wave.
An aggressive, long-standing wave that Rollins perfectly called out, looked at, and was offended by. Like, he played it very, very well. I give him credit for that.
The announcers acknowledged it. The cameraman acknowledged it. I'd like to think that the cameraman was actually looking around to see if Brock was going to come after him and not even caring about the wave. But the fans became hostile. Didn't care.
And neither did I. This is when the show it just became another episode of Raw like we've been seeing forever. Kane and Big Show need to be put out to pasture. I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I've appreciated their work for many, many years. They're loyal employees. I'm sure they make great money. I'm sure they have a passion still to do this. But they're not intimidating at all. At all. Rollins needs to fire them, or the authority needs to fire them, and they need to bring on, like, Luke Harper. They need to bring on Eric Rowan. They need to bring up Kevin Steen and take him. They need a couple big heavies for Rollins to hide behind, authority-type guys. But it can't, as big and as heavy as those two guys are, they lose to everybody. They are unintimidating, and no one gives a shit about them. It's time, guys. I'm sorry. It's time. The second that match was announced, I was like, well, you know, if I don't really have to watch the whole show tonight.
Yeah.
After as great as that show had been, you know.
Yeah, I until just reading through the results again, I forgot how the match ended. And
Reigns took the pinfall victory, right?
Yeah, over Kane.
And they booed Reigns mercilessly. Every time he got an offense, they booed the hell out of him.
And like we said earlier, he looked distraught about it.
He always does. Mm-hmm. When he gets booed, he does not like it. I don't know if he doesn't understand it. I don't know what it is. He does not play to it. He doesn't laugh about it. He really should. He really needs to. Because the more pissed off he looks, the more they're going to do it.
Yeah. Wow. We're at 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, I've got to wrap this thing up then.
Do you want to do it the top five, or do you want to hold that for?
Let's just hold it for next time. This is a pretty good review. Let's just say this: I enjoyed Raw better than I enjoyed WrestleMania.
I am 100% with you.
So I'm sorry to anyone listening who loved the show, who wants to put it in the top five WrestleManias of all time. Maybe I just didn't get it. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm almost always wrong. But the show, other than a few particular spots in Rollins getting the title, was not a great WrestleMania to me. But this Raw, after WrestleMania, and I know it had a lot to do with the crowd and setting up new angles and debuting superstars, was done so well. Concise, clean booking, pinfall victories that served to tell stories on both sides. This was a Raw that I would be able to sit 3 hours and not hate myself. And if we can get another one next week, I'm not counting on it. I'm counting on an authority promo to open the show. I'm counting on a bunch of DQs and roll-up finishes. But if they can keep this going, if this is a new direction for the company, good for them. They must be listening to our podcast.
Yeah. I think very good episode, if I could say so myself. I had fun. This was a lot of fun.
They're pretty great.
To talk at length about two pretty big shows that obviously got us very emotionally invested in getting, and that's what wrestling is really all about, is if we didn't react to it, the wrestling wouldn't be around, so.
Listen, when we were here with the friends the other night, Sunday night, and Rollins won that title, not a single one of us didn't jump up.
Yeah.
And, you know,
had to apologize to Riot the next morning.
Oh, was he sleeping?
Probably. And he goes, it doesn't matter.
But, I mean, that drew us in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this business, when they do it well, and when the storylines are there, there's no better thing to be watching for me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, obligatory plugs, make sure that you check us out on our website, which is MissSpotsPodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook at MissSpots, and you can follow us on Twitter at MissSpots. But most of all, subscribe to us on iTunes, listen to it, get the episodes automatically downloaded to you each time we put one out here. I think we got some good stuff to talk about the next time, because we definitely had more that we would have liked to touch on. So we'll catch you guys back here in a couple weeks, and enjoy your wrestling.